This is a podfic test drive for all the right reasons, all the wrong places. The Chrissy Robin Steve Bachelorverse for Stranger Things, Rare Pair, Big Bang. I've forgotten all the words that would go in the beginning of this. Anyway, here's the excerpt. We're test driving the podfic. Excuse me. Back when Robin was in high school, Steve Harrington was just some obnoxious jerk who couldn't keep his bagel crumbs to himself in history class. Back when Robin was in high school, Steve Harrington was just some obnoxious jerk who couldn't keep his bagel crumbs to himself in history class. Now, unbelievably, he is both her best friend and the star of The Bachelor. Now, unbelievably, he is both her best friend and the next star of The Bachelor. It starts as a joke. The idea that she'll pretend to be one of the contestants so she can suss out his options for him. But when the time comes, she finds herself actually going undercover. The producers agreed to give them one night only, but Robin is pretty sure that'll be enough to get at least a basic sense of all his potential future fiancés. Or at least, it would be if she could just stop losing track of time while talking to Chrissy Cunningham, a fellow contestant who somehow manages to be so much more than just the reality TV cliche of a beautiful girl with a sad backstory. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That last sentence was 5 lines long. We're just gonna remember to breathe. All right, ladies, here's how it's going to go. Pressed close to Robin, a strawberry blonde in an evening gown fidgets at her seat. The limo is crowded with women in silk and chiffon, sequins and satin, all of them sitting shoulder to shoulder to shoulder. Robin is the only one of them not in formal attire. Well, her and the crew. In the front seat, a cameraman is pointing his lens back through the divider window. On the ground in the middle of the contestants, cropped out of the shot where she lays at their feet, a dark-haired producer is explaining what will happen when the car pulls up to the mansion. The women around Robin are all trying to avoid looking at the camera, instead focusing on the producer as she talks them through the realities of filming and all of the unpredictable elements that go into it. So don't read too much into the order we put you in for meeting The Bachelor or how long you'll have to wait for your turn. The producer says. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. Robin sort of doubts that. Given what she knows about the whole Bachelor franchise and the nature of reality TV in general, she's pretty sure the producer included that bit in her little speech specifically to make everyone sweat. It seems to settle Strawberry Blonde, though, who takes a big, deep breath, then slowly lets it out. Now, the producer continues, who's ready to meet Bachelor Nation's favorite heartbroken heartthrob, the famous King Steve Harrington? Who's ready to meet Bachelor Nation's favorite heartbroken heartthrob, the famous King Steve Harrington? When she and Steve had first started joking about her coming on The Bachelor as one of his contestants, it had just been that. When she and Steve had first started joking about her coming on The Bachelor as one of his contestants, it had been just that. A joke. Steve figured he was just one of at least a few options they were considering for the next lead. And they both knew that being on reality TV was pretty much Robin's worst nightmare. So neither seemed like any sort of real possibility. Soon enough, though, the throwaway comment had spiraled into a serious idea. And when the producers reached out to officially ask Steve to be the star, he turned to Robin with an ask of his own. And, stupidly, she'd agreed. Unfortunately, it would be a lie to even say she didn't want to go with him. King Steve Harrington might have been her unrequited nemesis back at Hawkins High, but ever since he came home from L.A. with his tail between his legs, they've been practically inseparable. It was just about 2 years ago that he got publicly dumped for a runner-up after winning his second season of The Bachelorette, his third time on the franchise overall, and Robin's seen him through pretty much every up and down since. That includes his much-discussed decision to head back to the beach for paradise. Robin hadn't been convinced it wasn't a... Robin hadn't been convinced it wasn't a mistake, but it was that return to reality TV that won him the lead. But being part of a big crew on Bachelor in Paradise was one thing, and being the sole star of The Bachelor was another. Steve, more than anyone, knew the sort of thing he'd be signing on for. Robin had heard enough about the mind games that underlaid the whole nature of the show. But he also promised her that he knew the grueling psychological mindfuck of a process could pay off. But he also promised her that he knew the grueling psychological mindfuck of a process could pay off. He'd seen it work. And if he was the lead, chances were better that this time it would work for him. And, well, if he was dead set on heading back into that pit of vipers, she wasn't about to let him do it alone. When Steve told the producers he'd do the show under one condition, they'd had a condition of their own. Robin would be allowed to go undercover as a contestant so that she could scope out all of Steve's potential future fiancés, but she was only allowed to stay until the first rose ceremony. It was a one-night-only sort of deal. Which, frankly, had been sort of a relief. She could get a sense of all the women there without having to humiliate herself on any of those silly dates. She could support Steve without being forced to prove her marriage readiness via bridal obstacle course, or whatever it was they came up with to occupy the girls. Fucking A. Hun. Dear. Friend. Why are the sentences so fucking long? I need to breathe. She could support Steve without being forced to prove her marriage readiness via bridal obstacle course, or whatever it was they came up with, to occupy the crowds of girls sent on those early group dates. She was willing to be a little embarrassed for him. She was here at all, wasn't she? But participating in a televised competition like that was just a step too far. Besides, one night should be enough, Robin thinks. At least to give Steve the general gist, the lay of the land. Help him get ahead of any drama with an unbiased opinion on his contestants. Help him get a sense of which ones are clearly there to be the villain, and who's there because they're looking for love in the same way he is. It does sort of mean there's no time to waste, though, so once she can't put it off any longer, once it's clear they're starting and the first girl is climbing out of the limo, Robin turns to her fellow contestants and starts getting down to business. She learns quickly that it's weird talking to the other girls, knowing that the camera is rolling. Robin's here to get the dish on who's in it for the right reasons, or whatever it is they're always saying on this show. And she knows they're filming right now specifically to get footage of her doing her undercover thing, but she doesn't want to go too far. She's here to suss everyone out, not expose anyone on camera. She's not ready to be the reason some innocent girl gets flamed online when producers take a comment out of context. So it's pretty awkward at first, slow going as she tries too hard to watch her words. She starts and stops a few times, conversations dying before they really get off the ground. But none of the girls seem to realize anything out of the norm is happening. Robin guesses she's still got some of that nervous talking energy about her. Guesses they're all mentally assigning her the role of quirky rando who gets sent home on night one. But at least now it's a quality she can make work for her. A handy skill she can use to get information. In just a few minutes, she figures out who has already watched Steve's first few seasons and who's just gotten the gist from the tabloids or producers. She gets a sense of who's glancing at the camera to make sure it's watching them and who looks at her when she's talking. And as the crowd dwindles, women exiting the limo to introduce themselves to Steve, it's even easier to make little observations about each of the contestants left. By the time it's just her and Strawberry Blonde in the limo, Robin thinks maybe she's actually got a handle on this whole thing. "You know," she says, after it's been about a minute since the last girl left, "I'm starting to feel a little underdressed for the evening." Strawberry Blonde has been quiet most of the time that Robin's been throwing out various icebreakers and questions, speaking only when directly spoken to. But she quirks a smile at that. It's encouragement enough for Robin to continue, gesturing solemnly at the girl's dress before waving a hand at her own. Well, there's really no other way to say it. A sailor suit. Gesturing solemnly at the girl's dress before waving a hand at her own... Well, there's really no other way to say it. Sailor suit. "You all look so great," Robin adds. "I look like I'm heading from prom night straight to my shift at the mall." Not that I could actually afford spring for a limo back in high school. Hence the working at the mall in the first place. That whole mall connection was kind of the point of the Scoops Ahoy uniform. Well, that and the fact that it got her out of trying to actually get all dressed up and blend in with the sort of pageant girl pretty women who actually get cast on reality TV. But still. Strawberry Blonde shakes her head, though. "I always like when people wear fun costumes on the first night," she says, her cheeks going a little pink. "I actually have one for later, too. I just wasn't brave enough to wear it right away." "Oh, yeah?" Robin asks. "Please, tell me yours is something more embarrassing than this. Are you transforming into some other kind of food court mascot? Perhaps a giant ketchup bottle?" "Please tell me yours is something more embarrassing than this. Are you transforming into some other kind of food court mascot? Perhaps a giant ketchup bottle?" Strawberry Blonde grins. "Something like that. Something like that." A static crackle interrupts before Robin can respond. The producer presses a button to silence her walkie-talkie before looking back over at them. "Chrissy, sorry for such a long wait. You've been so patient, but finally it's your turn next. Are you ready to meet our bachelor, King Steve Harrington?" Strawberry Blonde, Chrissy, snaps to attention, then nods. "Great," the producer says. "Now go ahead and get ready, and I'll cue you when it's time. 30-second warning." Robin watches as Chrissy jumps into action, scooting closer to the door as instructed. She settles herself at the edge, her hands flitting around to adjust her hair. She fluffs her bangs, pats the half-pulled-back style clipped in place with a glittering barrette. She reaches to arrange the skirt of her dress over her knees, a long slit in the material revealing a flash of thigh for the briefest second. And then her leg disappears back beneath the layers of chiffon. She's pink in the cheeks, though, and her gaze flashes first to the camera, then to Robin, For the second their eyes meet, Robin can see that they're glittering, too, glassy even in the limo's overhead lighting. And then Chrissy presses them closed. When she opens them again, whatever it was that had been them is gone. Still, for that one moment, she'd almost looked scared. Chrissy! Oh, wait. Chrissy! The name bursts out of Robin before she can stop herself. Chrissy looks back over, eyes wide again, but Robin just flashes her two thumbs up. Don't be nervous, she says. You don't have to be a ketchup bottle to be brave. Excuse me. Don't be nervous, she says. You don't have to be a ketchup bottle to be brave. Chrissy smiles as if that almost makes sense, and then she nods. She takes another deep breath, lets it out slowly, then turns to face the limo door. Okay, the producer cues her. Now go. Oh my God, Steve says, when it's finally Robin's turn to step out of the limo. What the fuck on earth are you wearing right now? Robin gasps at the sight of him, too. What are you? She challenges, gesturing at the red lipstick smudged at the corner of his mouth. Did you already make out with somebody? Steve flushes, then ducks to rub at his mouth with his jacket sleeve. Still, he groans. That girl before you already... Chrissy wasn't wearing red. Sorry, yes, Chrissy, thank you. No, it was the one before her, but Chrissy helped me use my pocket square to... Jeez, I thought we got it all. But I guess not. Wow. Sorry, yes, Chrissy, thank you. No, it was the one before her, but Chrissy helped me use my pocket square to... Jeez, I thought we got it all, but I guess not. Wow, Robin draws. And I thought you officially abdicated the role of King Steve in Paradise this summer. I thought you really had turned over a new leaf for King Steve. Now I think... I thought you really had turned over a new leaf for King Steve. Now I see you're back to original flavor King Steve shenanigans. Now I see you're back to original flavor King Steve shenanigans. Steve rolls his eyes. Ha, ha, he says. No, seriously, what are you wearing? She looks down at her Scoops uniform, a relic from her years of high school retail. Not that she's not still in retail. These days, she's just juggling shifts at the video store and the market instead of slinging ice cream at the mall. What? Robin gasps, slipping her arms dramatically across her ensemble. You don't recognize this? Ahoy, Steve reads, eyes scanning the blue letters embroidered on the front of her sailor cap. You're an ice cream scooper at the mall? Not just any ice cream scooper at any mall. Back in your first season, you introduced yourself to your whole... You're an ice cream scooper at the mall? Not just any ice cream scooper at any mall. Back in your first season, you introduced yourself with your whole high school nostalgia thing, so I thought I'd stick with the theme. This, she says, pointing to the red name tag pinned to her chest, is the exact outfit I was wearing the one and only time you ever talked to me in high school. Steve lets out a bark of surprised laughter. Shut up, he says. It is not. No way you remember that. I do, Robin insists. I sat behind you in Mrs. Click's history class for a full year without you ever saying a single word to me. But then one summer I was working at Star Court, and you and one of your many admirers walked into Scoops Ahoy during my shift. They've been best friends for 2 years now, but she's never actually told him this story before. it's not memorable on his end. It wouldn't have been memorable on hers if it weren't for the fact that she'd already hated him for being her sophomore year crush's crush. It wouldn't have been memorable on hers if it weren't for the fact that she'd already hated him for being her sophomore year crush's crush. She had spent a whole year trying to bore holes into the back of his head using her yet-to-be-revealed psychic powers. He'd looked straight through her, as though the ice cream scooped itself. Wow, Steve says, wincing a little. Well, did I at least say anything? Like, hey, don't I know you? Or, nice hat? Robin reaches up to adjust the cap. She'd held it in her lap on the limo, slapped it on her head only in the seconds before she had to get out. Robin reaches up to adjust the cap. She'd held it in her lap on the limo, slapped it on her head only in the seconds before she had to get out. Would you believe that you didn't? Robin says. Would you believe that you didn't? Robin asks, shaking her head. Just one scoop of USS Butterscotch for me and a banana split for my date. Keep the change. And then nothing until you came crawling back home half a decade later. But since I'm supposed to be your wingman tonight, well, I figured a first mate is sort of the same thing, right? They've already filmed an intro together where they introduce Robin to the cameras, to the audiences who will be watching the show in a few months' time. They've given their whole backstory already, how they went to high school together but never ran in the same circles, occupying opposite spectrums on the social hierarchy, how she and everyone else in Hawkins had watched on TV as he set off for Hollywood to try and find love in front of the cameras, and how Robin and Steve had reconnected after he came crawling home to recover from a broken heart following what was supposed to be his third time's the charm try on the show. They'd strategically left out the part about how that reconnection happened because he kept showing up in her checkout lines to buy alcohol and popcorn from her at the market. To rent Legally Blonde over and over from Family Video on Friday afternoons. So, she'd asked him after the third run-in at both jobs. Are you having a lot of movie nights or just a lot of mental breakdowns? Somehow, they'd ended up friends. He'd taken the question in stride, been candid about everything he'd been through, and soon enough, Robin had found herself the secret keeper for a whole bachelorette season worth of spoilers. As it turned out, Steve hadn't just retreated home to lick his wounds after a bad breakup, one that would be broadcast across the nation. He'd also left L.A. to get a head start on hiding from the tabloids, who seemed eager to comment on each little bit of it. Soon enough, he told Robin, everyone was going to be able to watch him as he showed up late to Nancy Wheeler's season, swept her off her feet early on, and snuck into her hotel room way before Fantasy Suites. Then they were also going to watch as she said yes to his proposal, only to dump him during their second secret happy couple weekend. Everyone would get to watch as she broke the news to him on camera that actually she'd changed her mind, and she was going to try to make things work with Jonathan B., another finalist who'd had to quit the show early because of a family emergency. That wasn't what they'd told the producers, though. The summary they'd given on camera went more along the lines of, he kept buying very healthy smoothie ingredients from me at the market, and then one day when he came to my other job to rent a movie, we ended up hanging out and really hitting it off. They'd also told the cameras about how they'd watched every episode together once Nancy's season started airing. How Robin had roasted him throughout every episode while he groaned and dramatically hid under a blanket in his parents' old house. They filmed an entire segment about how she talked him through the moment he accidentally set off weeks' worth of discourse, igniting heated conversations about whether he'd slut-shamed the Bachelorette or if he was being held unfairly responsible for Tommy H's actions. They shared how, when Paradise came knocking a year later, Robin gave Steve the advice that convinced him to put himself back out there. And then they explained how she would come to be standing beside him now, pretending to be one of the 20... And then they explained how she would come to be standing beside him now, pretending to be one of the 25 or so women competing for his heart. "Well, hey," Steve says, holding his arms open in a shrug. "At least I tipped, right? It's gotta count for something." "Oh, yeah," Robin agrees, nodding resolutely. "A very generous $1.47. Plus you paid for your date. Total gentleman behavior. I'll make sure the girls inside all know." "Perfect," Steve shoots back. "And, you know, if I didn't say it before, it's a great hat, Robin." He reaches out to tweak it, and she bats his hand away. "Okay, okay," she rebuffs. "Keep it in your pants. I thought we already decided that things between you and me will always and only ever be capital P platonic." Steve rolls his eyes, but he laughs. The 5 seconds he thought he had a crush on her is old news by now, both to them and to the cameras after a producer first asked. But the showrunner still warned them that bringing her in as his best friend might get fans speculating back home. That was part of why she wouldn't be allowed to stay any longer, and something the show had asked them to make clear on camera. "Right, of course. I've got plenty of incredible prospects already. Speaking of, any thoughts about the women in the first limo? Have you already met the future Mrs. Steve Harrington?" Robin takes a second to mentally review the highlights. There'd been one or two girls who seemed nice enough. There'd also been the redhead who knew more about Steve's time in Bachelor Nation than Robin did. The brunette who kept checking to make sure the camera was pointed her way. The red lipstick wearer who'd apparently decided she wasn't waiting to nab the first kiss of the season. And then there was Chrissy, who'd apparently been tasked with helping Steve wipe that lipstick off. "Hard to say just yet," Robin answers honestly. "But hey, the night is young, and I'm pretty sure there are, like, 4 more limos waiting down the street." "That's true. Lots more potential Mrs. Steve Harringtons to meet." "Well, with that in mind, I guess I should probably let you get inside so we can both get down to business." Steve steps back to sweep an arm towards the door, smiling. "Robin Buckley, I would like to officially welcome you to the Bachelor Nation Mansion." "Robin Buckley, I would like to officially welcome you to the Bachelor Mansion. Now get to work, sailor." Robin grins back, and then she gives him a 2-fingered salute. "Aye, aye, Captain." "Okay, so I definitely think your words, my voice, vibe very well. This is totally scratch recording. I don't have my, soundproofing and pillows and such set up, so this is not the ideal audio quality for the whole thing, but give it a listen, tell me what you think. I'm game if you are. Thanks." "Okay. And also, please, if you would let me know how to pronounce your username, and if you think there's going to be any, like, major, if it's going to be, like, significantly longer than the, like, 5-6K I think that you put on your thing, I'll just know what to brace for." "Okay, thanks. Bye."